The uniqueness of Lutheranism is that it gets the New Testament doctrine of justification like nobody else.
Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
It's also taught among us that we cannot obtain forgiveness of sin and righteousness before God by our own merits, works, or satisfactions, but that we receive forgiveness of sin and become righteous before God by grace, for Christ's sake, through faith. Don't lose heart. You're not crazy. You're just an Orthodox Lutheran. Be faithful, be kind, and be Orthodox.
You can listen to President Harrison's presentation and all of the speakers at the Making the Case conference on a new audio DVD. We'll send it to you for a $300 donation to Issues Etc. before Labor Day. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
We find this beautiful imagery in the book of Revelation. The closer you get to the end, the more beautiful the imagery becomes. Before that, for the first 20 chapters or so, it can be horrifying. Misguided souls have even tried to turn the first chapters of the book of Revelation into some kind of horror comic book. Well, they think that they're trying to rightly understand the book of Revelation. Now, we look at this imagery of the river of life and the trees of life, not just a tree, but the trees of life that grow on its banks. Is this just something to kind of soothe the mind, the imagination, as this rather harrowing, confusing book draws to a close? Don't worry, it's going to be all right. Kind of a general symbol of everything put right. Or is there something real to this river of life and connections, real connections, to elsewhere in Holy Scripture? I'm Todd Wilkin. Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're going to be talking with Pastor Tom Baker, closing out this Monday afternoon's program, talking about the river of life in Revelation chapter 22. Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Hello, Todd.
Some people look at the book of Revelation, they just find it confusing, and it's easier for them to just say, look, all the symbolism there, including this river of life and the trees of life, it's just that. It's just symbolism of something else, and it can't be real, much less something that awaits us in eternity. What are your thoughts there?
You know, Todd, when we went to the seminary, we were fortunate if we went through at least six books of the Bible in detail. I know I took a course with Martin Fronsman on Romans. We didn't even get past chapter 5 in 10 weeks. So I left the seminary, and I would not preach from Revelation because it was so confusing to me. And it wasn't until after I took a postgraduate course with Lewis Brighton, who wrote the commentary on Revelation that you can get from Concordia Publishing House, that it just opened up to me in ways that I had never seen. It's confusing because until you understand the secret of Revelation, that the code to Revelation is the Old Testament. Excuse me. And even though we don't have one quotation from the Old Testament in the entire book of Revelation, it's interesting that a lot of the figures, a lot of the metaphors are found directly in the book of Revelation. In the Old Testament. So when it talks about the river of life, Scripture interprets Scripture. We need to understand, and we'll get into this, that the worship service that we go through is a back taste of the Garden of Eden and a foretaste of the heavenly home to which we are going. So a lot of what is said in Revelation, particularly in this section, is found if you only go back to Genesis. And the verse I would like to point out to is Genesis chapter 2, verse 8 and following. And the Lord God planted a garden in Eden in the east, and there he put the man whom he had formed. So, it's out of the next part that's very important, verse 10. A river flowed out of Eden to water the garden, and there it divided and became four rivers. The name of the first is Pishon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Havilah, where there is gold. And the gold of that land is good. Bdellium and onyx stones are there. The name of the second river is Gihon. It is the one that flowed around the whole land of Cush. And the name of the third river is the Tigris, which flows east of Assyria. And the fourth river is the Euphrates. So, we're going back to the Garden of Eden to a great degree, because even the Tree of Life is found in Revelation that we're going back to. So, if you have a good understanding of Old Testament imagery and historical events, you'll be able to understand the book of Revelation much easier.
So we need to generally approach this, keeping the Old Testament in mind. And then that I take it, since those things in the Old Testament were real, we should regard this river of life that is talked about in Revelation chapter 22 as something that we will really see with our own eyes.
Yes, we do not believe in a literalistic interpretation of the Bible. We believe in a literal interpretation, and we don't believe in a metaphorical interpretation. What I mean by that, the literal interpretation takes a look at the Scripture, and if the context doesn't demand a metaphorical understanding, then we take it as it is. So therefore, God did create the world in six 24-hour days. That is not a figment of our imagination, because nowhere in the Bible does it give any indication that that is not to be taken literally. So literally is the way we look at the Bible. Scripture interprets Scripture, and the context will tell us whether or not we are to take things symbolically or metaphorically.
So what's the context here for the book of Revelation leading up to this, the revelation of the river of life?
Yes. The Apostle John, he's, of course, in exile, and he has these visions, and he is taken in the Spirit. Like chapter 2 and 3 are seven messages from Jesus Christ to the seven churches in Asia. But beginning in chapter 21, he says, "I see a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more." And of course, that new holy city is New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. Now, when my favorite chapter is Revelation chapter 5, which I believe is the ascension of Jesus Christ into heaven, and Jesus returns to heaven as a slain lamb. That's how John sees him. Now, we don't believe that that's how he returned, but that is what we call apocryphal language. It's used in a metaphorical way to make a point, because we know from Scripture, interpret Scripture, the disciples saw Jesus in human form ascend above into the clouds, and therefore when he got to heaven, he would therefore be a human being, not a slain lamb. But in order to make the point as to why he was worthy to take the scroll from the hands of God the Father on the throne, it is very clear that Jesus was worthy because he was slain, as the company of angels and the company of heaven sing in chapter 5, that he becomes worthy as the one who saves us.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll continue with him talking about the river of life in Revelation chapter 22, teaching a Sunday school lesson. Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel, and you'll find a link to Law and Gospel right there at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August is a visual Bible resource. Lutheran Bible Companion contains more than 600 photographs, illustrations, and detailed maps that bring to life biblical times. Find out more about Lutheran Bible Companion at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Lutheran Bible Companion, The Issues, Etc. Book of the Month for August.
There are nearly 20 million college students in the United States. 40% will stop going to church during college. 50% will never return. The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod is seeking to meet this challenge through LCMSU. Why? Because 100% of college students matter to God and to His church. College is tough. You need Jesus. We'll help. LCMSU. Check us out at lcms.org/lcmsu.
No gimmicks, no shticks, just straightforward preaching and teaching in accord with Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. By the book liturgy, right from the hymnal. No glitz, just Christ crucified for sinners like us. We're Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. Come receive God's gifts with us. Find out more about us at gracelutheranracine, that's all one word, .net. And like you, we're proud supporters of Issues, Etc.
No matter the size, big or small, RP Lumber can deliver it all. From pickups to one-tons to box trucks and booms, everywhere you look, you see blue. RP Blue. RP prides itself in customer service. RP will deliver quality products to your home, business, or job site. And you can be sure of timely delivery on clean trucks with courteous drivers. So when you think of service, think blue. RP Blue. With over 50 local community locations, for 37 years, RP Lumber.
Christological. Creedal. Confessional. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California. Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming. Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas. Trinity Lutheran, Gillette, Wyoming. Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California. St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa. Redeemer Lutheran, Kakabeka Falls, Ontario, Canada. St. Jacoby Lutheran, Shawano, Wisconsin. And St. John's Lutheran, North Prairie, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues, Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues, Etc. 300. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson. The first five verses of Revelation chapter 22 is our subject. Tom, before the break, you were talking about Jesus' appearance there in the book of Revelation as the Lamb who had been slain. The crucified and risen Christ appears there as the sacrificial Lamb. Now, is there a connection here via Christian baptism with what we're finding here in Revelation 22, this water of life bright as crystal flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb through the middle of the street there in the heavenly city?
Once more, the Concordia Publishing House materials for the Sunday school teacher does a marvelous job in pointing that Revelation 22, 1-5 can be about worship, because it talks about this wonderful river with the tree of life there, and the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations, and no longer is anyone accursed. So the CPH material says, in baptism, we receive the triune name of God. It is poured on us with water, the water of life. We are marked for all eternity as belonging to Christ. So I would say that what Revelation is doing is really helping us to explain what is going on in divine worship. If you go back to, again, Revelation 5, my favorite verse, chapter, and take a look at 9 and 10, those verses there, here's the new song that the saints and the angels sang to Jesus. worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain, and by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation, and here's the important part, you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God, and they shall reign on the earth. In other words, right now, we, the Holy Christian Church, the kingdom of God on earth, are already priests that we can pray directly to God. And if you go to Ephesians 2, we've actually even ascended into heaven with Christ as our head at the right hand of God the Father. So what Revelation is saying is we best encounter that wonderful reality in the worship service, where we begin the worship service with the baptismal triune God in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And then we move to what I call the dessert of the worship service, which is the Lord's Supper, where we receive the very body and blood of Jesus Christ. And that cannot happen to a person unless God considers them a sinless saint in his eyes.
So you said at the very beginning that this worship is, a back taste of Eden and a foretaste of the new heaven and the new earth, wherein we find this river of life. Is that the connection to the trees of life that grow along the banks of the river of life?
That is correct. And it even says specifically in a Revelation that the tree of life will be there. Remember that God removed Adam and Eve from the Garden of Eden lest they eat from the tree of life and live forever. That would have been horrible because sin had now enveloped them. They would begin to grow old. It would be like being in an area where you put people who are going to die, and they keep growing old. They can't move. They can't speak. But they never die. And so by removing them from the Garden of Eden, God was actually giving them a blessing so that the physical death could be an entrance into a heavenly Jerusalem where death will never occur.
Okay, it talks about the tree of life bearing 12 kinds of fruit, yielding its fruit each month. What does this mean?
This is referring to the fact that, as God says, he permits the gardens to grow fruit for the people. It is a fruit that when we are raised from the deathness of our sin, that the water provides for 12 groves of the tree of life, and they become the daily bread in Revelation 22. These groves each give their fruit for 1 month of the year, so that the citizens of the New Jerusalem are always fed with the very best food, and it never runs out, because at the end of the year, then the first grove continues. And it is just a metaphorical way of saying something like, we'll remember at some of the festivals the Jews had, that you'd give the first fruits to God because you know you're going to be supplied with the rest of the fruit. And this is a promise from God that never in heaven will there be crying or weeping or hunger, death, or suffering.
And these are the tree of life. Is this the very tree of life that you spoke of just a moment ago that Adam and Eve were barred from returning to?
Yes, because remember, the river of the water of life goes back to that river that flowed out of Eden and divided into four rivers. And it is those rivers that provide water for the 12 groves of the tree of life. So what God is doing is restoring us back to the Garden of Eden with one significant difference. Adam and Eve were sinless, but they had the propensity to sin, whereas we are going to be so filled with faith and righteousness that sin will never overcome us in the New Jerusalem.
So the difference there is we will be, like the holy angels, confirmed by God in Christ's perfect righteousness.
That's well said. Whereas those in hell will be confirmed in their disobedience, as he did the evil angels the devil, and so forth.
What do we make of this phrase, the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations?
That is really referring, in my view, to the leaves of the tree would therefore be the blessings that we would receive. And I truly believe that not only referring to the body and blood of Jesus Christ or baptism, but any of the proper teaching in the church. There's one goal that every pastor has, and it's not only to just speak the Word of God in its purity, but the goal in doing that is to comfort the people. So just as they're discovering certain leaves of plants have some medicinal attributes that are very surprising and gets rid of certain pains, these particular leaves get rid of all pain, and they come from the tree of life and are watered by the river of life.
It says in verse 3, "No longer will there be anything accursed, but the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him." Talk about that, if you would, Tom.
To be accursed, one needs to go Scripture, interpret Scripture. You go back to Matthew 25, and we find out that the word to be cursed is the opposite of the word to be blessed. The sheep are blessed, the goats are cursed. What does that mean? It means that the promises of God are no longer available, the gracious promises, to those who are cursed. But in heaven, nothing will ever be accursed. Why? It explains it right in that verse. Because the throne of God and of the Lamb will be in it, and his servants will worship him. So the only way you get cursed is through unbelief. But going back again to Revelation chapter 4 and 5, in Revelation 4, it talks about the throne of God, and that is a direct reference back to Daniel 7, where the one on the throne, whom we believe is God the Father, is referred to as the Ancient of Days. And he sends the Son of Man, which is Jesus Christ, into the world. Revelation chapter 4 is therefore that picture of God on the throne. But Revelation 5 is when Jesus returns to heaven after his ascension, and therefore he is the Lamb of God, same word, with him now taking from the right hand of him who sat on the throne the scroll. And that scroll is really important because just like in Roman days, and this is why you need to know the culture of that day, the Romans would make a law, but it would not go into effect until the scroll was opened. We find out from Revelation 6 and following that the scroll is the salvation of humankind. And therefore, if this scroll is not opened, then we are in big trouble. In fact, in Revelation chapter 5, a strong angel can't even open the scroll because he is not a human being. And John sees this and begins to weep loudly because no one was found worthy to open the scroll. It would mean that all of us would be damned to hell forever. But then one of the elders says, "Weep no more. The Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has conquered, and he will open the scroll." And the very next verse, chapter 5, verse 6, the Lamb is standing there with seven horns and seven eyes, referring to the Holy Spirit, and he goes and takes the scroll from the right hand of him, and they worship him because he's the only one worthy to save people.
We're talking with Pastor Tom Baker, host of the radio show Law and Gospel, teaching a Sunday school lesson on this Monday afternoon. We're in Revelation chapter 22, the first five verses, the River of Life. When we come back, we're going to be right back there with that Lamb. It says, "They will worship him, they will see his face, his name will be on their foreheads." We'll talk about that with Pastor Tom Baker right after this.
The Word of God does what it says. Language is not a barrier to God's Word. Culture is not a barrier to God's Word.
Pastor Jonathan Fisk, host of the video blog Worldview Everlasting, speaking at the Issues Etc. Making the Case conference.
Am I saying that we shouldn't pay attention to these things? No, I'm not saying that at all. But I'm saying we should stop believing that those things are what matter. What matters is the content of Holy Scripture. The New Testament and what it has to do with us is not a problem of our linguistics today. It's a problem of our faith that the Word of God is actually there to be believed.
You can listen to Pastor Fisk's presentation and teachings by Matt Harrison, Craig Parton, Chris Roseborough, Will Wheaton, and Al Schmidt on an audio DVD from the 2014 Making the Case Conference. For a donation of $300 to Issues Etc. before Labor Day, we'll send you this audio DVD. For more information, look for the DVD logo at issuesetc.org.
All theology is Christology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In Hosea 4, we read, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." At the CLCC, we educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Christians would if they learned what we believe, teach, and confess. Visit our website at theclcc.org. See what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And encourage your pastors to hold an event in your area. For more information, go to theclcc.org.
Carpet, hardwood, tile, stone, laminate, you name it, they've got it at Vallo Floor Coverings in Edwardsville. Vallo's offers competitive pricing, a knowledgeable sales staff to help you with product selection, and name brands like Shaw, Congoleum, Mohawk, Florida Tile, and more. Vallo Floor Coverings, 1009 Plummer Drive in Edwardsville, 618-656-7788 or vallofloor.com.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest for another 10 minutes on this Monday afternoon. We're in Revelation chapter 22, the first five verses, talking about the river of life, the tree of life, and then the fact, well, life is going to be different for us, Pastor Baker. It talks about not only seeing God and the Lamb on His throne, but worshiping Him, seeing His face. It says, and these are the following verses, "His name will be on their foreheads. The night will be no more. They will need no light of lamp or sun, for the Lord God will be their light, and they will reign forever and ever." There's a lot there. Take us through that, if you would.
The first time we remember that a human being cannot see the face of God is when Moses was on Mount Sinai, and God only showed him his backside. That's the language used there, because you cannot see the face of God and live. We remember that it was also true in Isaiah chapter 6, when Isaiah was really worried. "Woe is me, I'm an unclean man." And he was thinking he was even in the presence of God, and therefore he would be put to death. The best way to help us understand what it means to see God face to face, once more, using Scripture, interpret Scripture, I would point to 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12. Paul writes, "For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, then I shall know fully, even as I have been fully known." I really know hardly anything about God the Father or God the Holy Spirit. The person of the Trinity that really reveals both the Father and the Son is none other than Jesus Christ Himself. If I want to know God's attitude towards me, we find that in the teaching and person of Jesus Christ. But even there, we see in a mirror dimly, or as the King James says, through a glass darkly. But there's a time coming when in heaven, we are going to be able to look into the face of God in His brilliance. Remember on the Mount of Transfiguration, Jesus, in my view, probably became only 1% transfigured. And even there, it was whiter than anything that any launderer could do. But when we see Him in heaven, He will be so brilliant that we'll have to have resurrected eyes. Like Job says, "With my own eyes, I will see Him." So right now, and this is an important point for the children, there will be many questions that we will not have the answer to for our children because the Bible doesn't supply the answer. That's what it means that 1 Corinthians 13:12, now I know in part. But in heaven you shall know fully, even as I have been fully known. Now, how does God fully know us? I've said this many a time, that you cannot even read your own heart. A lot of times you do something good, but only God can read the heart to see if it's a fruit of the Holy Spirit or a self-interest behind that motivation. God knows you that well. So, in heaven, we shall know God that well. We will have an understanding of Him that never will we ever doubt Him. And it's always doubt or pride that leads us to sin. So this is a promise to the children that here on earth, we only see through a glass darkly, but in heaven, we shall see Him face to face because of our baptism. And that's going to be very important, because when was the name of God written on your forehead? At least every time I baptized someone, I would always make the sign of the cross over their forehead. I baptize, and then I would give the name, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. And that's why baptism is so important as a way of assuring us that we have received the gift of the forgiveness of sins.
That last phrase is somewhat unexpected. We would expect it to say, He will reign forever and ever, which is kind of the what we're taught to believe, Christ's kingdom that has no end. But it says, speaking of the redeemed, they will reign forever and ever. What does that mean for us?
Well, we need to look at the word reign. It actually is a Greek word that comes from the word to be king. It's a word that means you will have kingly power. It's used for the governor of a province or the rule of the Messiah or the reign of Christians in heaven. So it's the very same word that a king would have. Now, what does a king have? He has the authority that anything he wills shall be done. That's what it means to reign. Well, guess what? In heaven, we will never have a desire that will not be fulfilled, because our relationship with Jesus Christ will be so close that we will be reigning with him. And by the way, that same language is found in the previous, that favorite chapter of mine, Revelation chapter 5, where it says very clearly that you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God. They shall reign on the earth. See, we have power over the devil here on the earth. But in heaven, we shall also continue to reign, because Jesus is the head. We are the body.
So this is Christ bestowing the kingdom upon us. Is this a picture of the perfect righteousness that was Adam and Eve's before the fall, but now even made better?
I would say that the made better part is best understood that we will, as you said earlier, Todd, be locked into our righteousness like the good angels, where they will never sin. They have now become the messengers of God. We will become more fully the children of God, in the sense that we will never want to doubt him, never rebel against him, never sin against him, and that's what is going to be how we reign in heaven. But we need to understand that in Christ, we reign here also on earth. The devil cannot touch us. One word, and he's fallen. That's a mighty fortress is our God. And so we also have that reigning power on earth, even though our experience at times will seem like we're not reigning. But in reality, the promise of God says we are, because Jesus is calling the shots.
Do we have the deposit of this river of life in the Holy Spirit given in baptism? I'm thinking there of Jesus' promise that whoever believes in me, out of his heart shall flow streams of living water, speaking of the Holy Spirit. About a minute here, Tom.
I would say in the same way that when Jesus was baptized, what did he receive? He received none other than the Holy Spirit. It came down as a dove. And Jesus says to Nicodemus, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. And then in John 4:13, he speaks of himself as the water of life. Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again, referring to the water in the well, to the woman of Samaria. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. And so just a cursory kind of look at the term water in the Bible, you will see a lot of cleanliness, purity, and righteousness coming. And one of the best verses in the entire Bible, of course, is in the Old Testament, where Ezekiel talks about that water that will clean us.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Next week, Pastor Baker will lead us in a Sunday school lesson on God creating the world in Genesis chapter 1, back to the very beginning. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
We base our weekly conversations with Pastor Baker on a Sunday school curriculum. You heard him mention it a few minutes ago from Concordia Publishing House. The curriculum is called Growing in Christ. It is a Sunday school curriculum for all ages. It also covers the whole counsel of God, so to speak, Old and New Testament, and ties it all together in the way that Scripture itself is tied together by that golden thread of Christ in his saving work from Genesis to Revelation. So on a week where we've just talked about Revelation, and next week we'll be talking about the first chapter of the Bible, you see exactly how it all ties together. Christ holds it together. He says, these are the Scriptures from Genesis to Revelation that testify of me. That's what they understand at Concordia Publishing House when they produced this curriculum called Growing in Christ. Find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Just click Listen on Demand or give them a call, 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. Ask for a free sample of this Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Gretchen Passantino of Answers in Action about Stonehenge. You know those big stones that sit out there in the middle of nowhere in England? What are they really? We'll also discuss praying for our schools. Pastor K.C. Denning will be our guest tomorrow on the program. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Would you like to learn about the Reformation theology you hear on Issues Etc.? We'll send you a pamphlet of Luther's Small Catechism for free. It contains the biblical teachings on the Ten Commandments, the Apostles' Creed, the Lord's Prayer, baptism, the Lord's Supper, and confession and absolution. Order your free copy of Luther's Small Catechism today. Just send your name and mailing address to talkback@issuesetc.org.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to eighth grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.